All right, let's start this after school club.
Yes, sir.
All right, give me a count around, Alan. Say
five,
say,
four,
say.
Three, two, one.
Who's the best show here?
That show.
Who's the best show here?
That show.
Good, that's the best one yet.
I am short.
Pizza, pizza.
About fucking time someone
else. And no music.
Yeah, no, that clipped.
It's a little thing tech show, when that's fact. If you don't like guests, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that'll link it bad. But the stream is good to break the DLNGS. Dotto. And I see channels and Linux link.net. Bound Tech Show, just in right there, got the gather just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 982 of the Linux Link Tech Show. On the show tonight, we have Alan.
Hello, hello.
We have.
If I had my old that old mixer that we started the show with, I send that down to you so we can actually get the audio to work right.
We have Pat.
How's it going, man?
We have Joel.
Good evening.
We have Joe.
I'm here.
Yeah, I was watching it. It all clipped. Like once it got past, once it did the big O completely clipped. So I think I'm riding the wrong audio.
Probably.
Yeah, and I should probably just mix that intro together. I like adding different things in there, but anyway. Before we get into OLF, I want to say something. I know we have a tendency to complain a lot about software companies and support and different things, but I do have to say, I have to give a shout out to VVV, Very Invagrant Vagrants support, which is essentially just posting problems on the GitHub repo. And this second time I had a problem, posted a bug, I proposed a fix for it, and like not even like a minute went by after I posted this bug that the same developer the last time I hit up with a problem started asking questions back. And
awesome. You
know, we worked together for a little bit testing some stuff out. He had a PR. I tested the PR. And like an hour later, this thing was merged in and ready to go. And I saw that he had a Mastodon account. So I hit him up on Mastodon and I said, man, thank you so much. Like, I've just been blown away by the support that we have received from this, from a GitHub repo problem posting that I'm not even sure the guy gets paid for doing this. I don't know. Maybe he does. I don't. It doesn't matter because, like, there's paid support where we go through, like, weeks of trying to get a solution and you know, it's back and forth once or twice a day because that's the way it goes. And the Couchbase has been usually pretty good, but like we've been going back and forth with the vendor and it's just been night and day difference. So again, man, that VVV support, spot on, man. I was just blown away. I think he's in the UK too, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe, maybe not. But it was so good. I was so happy. I just want to give a thumbs up to them. Bravo, bravo, bravo.
Yes.
So you went to OLF. Now I have to say, Joel, when you sent me that picture, I don't know if you realized it when I conveyed the message properly, of More Dancy.
Yep.
The picture I the text I had from you before that picture you sent me was from
last year when my aunt died.
Yeah, probably. It was from, yeah, it was October 23rd, 2021. And it just said, anyway, I just saw died and funeral. Like, when I opened it up, I just saw funeral at the top. And I was like, oh, man, did more Nancy die? I'm like, oh, man. And I was like, no, man, that's great. I'm glad he didn't
die. I'm glad I caught you with that. That's kind of funny.
Yeah, I was like, oh, man, that's some bad news because he's a great guy. And I'm glad. Yeah.
He's pretty healthy. He's lost a bunch of weight, obviously, you know. Take a little bit of colon out of you, and yeah, you're gonna lose weight. But also, speaking of which, on that, you know, and he'll say the same, I say the same, and I think we all will. Get your colonoscopies if you haven't, if you're of age, because that's how you prevent that stuff. Because I know we just lost another 80s star this week in Kirstie Alley. She died of cancer.
They didn't specify which kind, did they?
No, I think it was colon cancer.
Really?
Yeah, and it was quick. Wow. Yeah, like,
I read that somewhere too. Yeah.
Yeah. So, get them. It sucks, but it's just a momentary day or two of uncomfortableness.
Yeah, but, yeah, I just read it. Yeah, I just looked that up. It was colon cancer at 71. Yep.
71, and that doesn't even sound old anymore. How funny is that? Because, you know, that's we're celebrating my father-in-law's 80th birthday this weekend.
Alan's going to be celebrating his 71st birthday on April 1st next year, right?
Not that old yet.
No, he's not there yet.
He may be 60 next year, but...
So, Olaf, winds up, I had I just made the transition this week to the Tomini team, and I'll talk a little bit about that. Last week before, trying to remember, was it Wednesday or Thursday? No, Thursday. We go into the Thursday meeting in trying to line everything up so we can make this week as successful as we can in the tradition. And I'll get into that a little later. But in any event, my new boss is like, why don't you just take the rest of the day off on Friday too? Because I know you don't have anything in your queue. And I'm like, yeah, that's true.
did he know you wanted to go to OLF?
She did not.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, yeah, well, that's my new manager. Manager was there. Well, and since I was still actually technically, if I look in the system, I'm still reporting to my old manager because I don't think they've made that transition yet. Maybe somebody's on vacation or whatever. Doesn't matter. So then I sent a Slack to my boss, my boss that was my boss last week, and he's like, yep, go ahead. And I'm like, okay, cool. So I took off the rest of the day on Thursday, and all of Friday and Friday I got up and I went down to OLF. Trying to remember if I made the... No, I did not make the opening keynote on Friday. It's much different now. They did some of the same things probably the last 2 years, including the year they didn't meet in person. But they have a full – the only thing that was really free was the online. So I think the online was the only one that's free. They paid – it was $10, which – not exactly, because the way they stated it on their website was for controlling the numbers for COVID, which honestly, there's about 300 or 400 people there, which I was, at least that's what I've heard. I didn't probably see them all at the same time, but, so this year, see, what's the ones I see? Oh, no, I was just kind of hanging around the first part of Friday and then went to lunch with Tom Lawrence and Tony Bemis over at the North Market. Both Tony and I had barbecue at the I forget what the name of the barbecue place is, but all I know is it's good. I had the burnt ends. That was really good. And Tom had, I think, like African something. There's one like Mumbagar or something. I can't remember. Or no, maybe not African. Maybe it may have been Moroccan. I don't know. There's so many different choices over in the North Market that it's, you know, you can't have had everything in there. Even if you've gone multiple times like most of us have. But so then I went over, kind of hung out the expo. I did sit through a couple talks that wasn't the ones. There's really only two I really didn't want to miss. Tony's was one, which was basically talking about Home Assistant and setting up IoT devices without using the cloud. It was a really good talk. He talked about things I wasn't quite aware of, like a Tasmoto, which lets you can load up even like light bulbs and stuff with Tasmoto, which is an open source firmware designed to work with Home Assistant and I think Zigbee or Z-Wave, I think, if I remember right. But anyway, his talk was really good. And then wasn't too long after that I had to head home because we wanted to do the weekly grocery getting and stuff like that. And then Saturday, I was only down Saturday for a few hours. I went to see Amber Grainer's talk, which was really good. Basically talking about you might be a non-technical person, but you know, as in you can't code, you're not like a kernel developer or able to write like Ansible code or anything like that, you know, you can still contribute is what her point was. It was really actually a good session for those of us that are technical that need to make sure that our non-technical or soft skills or whatever you want to call them are up to par. Because really, if you're in a technical space, you should learn how to talk to your end users. But other than that, I did not eat at the North Market again. It cost me $20 to park both days.
At the North Market, or was that?
There's two stories on this, and both they cost me about that. Friday, I ended up parking in the North Market parking lot, and it was okay because I was going to eat there, and I got my parking validated and all that stuff. But that area is under some pretty heavy construction in and around it. So when I went back down Saturday morning, I parked in the garage. When I parked at the North Market, it was kind of confusing because I saw one sign that says pay at the machine and another sign that said pay on your way out. So I paid at the machine. I handed my ticket and the little stub the machine gave out. And she's like, oh, you're supposed to pay here. She's like, just give me $10 more and you're okay. And I'm like, all right. So that's about $20. The parking garage, which is basically, you can see it from the North Market parking lot. It's actually the way to go for parking at OLF if they continue to have it at the Hilton, because it connects right to the Hilton. You literally don't have to go outside once you get in the parking garage. So, you can just go through the Hilton to get to the convention space. Now, here, the Hilton is relatively new. I think within the last couple years is when it was built, okay? And it's actually split into two different towers. One is sitting on top of the convention center, literally, and then the other is across the street. And they got a bridge that connects those two, so you don't have to walk across High Street, which is not too bad. But it's kind of funny because the Hilton is literally sitting on top of the space where they used to have OLF in the convention center. So, but other than that, they had two rooms where they gave talks at. I know for a fact that Fioris AB, which is the main room, that's where like all the keynotes and stuff were, they streamed from that room the whole entire day. So if you go to the OLF channel on YouTube, and you look for the live videos, you can probably go in there and watch all the talks that I did. And there was some that I actually watched from home or listened to from home on a Saturday after we got back. one was on, I'm trying to remember. I'd have to go back and look at the schedule to remember all the talks. But I sat there, I listened to the stream on a couple of them from home. But like I said, Amber's talk was really good. It was really good to see Amber again. I saw, like I said, saw Mardancy. I saw Tom. I saw Ed Little wasn't there this year, which I can understand that because I think they got a lot of stuff going on. His son, Jackson, is graduating high school this year. So, anywho, I had a good time. The setup was pretty good. Everything was all on one floor and all, you know, within a very, very short walk. Much, much smaller than it's been in the past. The expo area was mostly, I would say mostly community driven. LPI had a table. FSF was there. Alma Linux, SUSE, at least one company recruiting, like trying to find companies that need or people that need to hire someone to help them with their code, which I don't remember the name of the vendor, but they were there. Rocky Linux was there. Red Hat was there. In fact, I got a red hat. Not one of the fedoras, but they have ball caps with Red Hat's logo on them, which is kind of cool. Really, those are the ones I remembered. I'm sure there was a few more, but it was pretty small comparatively to when you guys been there before. So hopefully in the next year or so, it'll start to grow a little bit more again. I kind of like the smaller feel of it. It actually was very accessible, I think, and really appreciated the time. Beth Lynn and the team did a fantastic job getting this thing together. So if you're in Ohio, Olaf's probably worth going to. It's even worth traveling to if you really want to come up again. But it is kind of at a horrible time of the year. December is not a great time for a Linux Fest, in my opinion, especially in Ohio. I'd love it if they moved it back to October.
It's a holiday gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah. And the other night, last week I think it was, while I was on the show, I noticed that Joe Bourne had posted on eBay some of his Iowa headphones for $27.99. I've got them. Arrived on Monday. I'm very satisfied with them. They fit nice in the ears. It's not like a couple sets I have basically just have the little cushion that goes in your ear. And maybe a little extension. These kind of have a little bit of a wing to them. Not a giant one, just a small wing. But they don't fall out of my ears, and they sound pretty decent. They have really good battery life. My only real complaint on them is that the case for them is kind of large compared to some of my other ones. But other than that, that doesn't bug me too much because, you know, I'm home more than I am away lately, so... but that doesn't really bother me too much. I recommend them, especially for $27.99. It's still worth it, and he still has some out there. So, and if you need the link, let me know. I can send it to you. But only other thing I'm trying to figure out is for some reason these have a USB-C charging, but there's also a full-size USB-A port on it. What that's used for, I have no idea. I guess I should probably read the manual.
You need to charge your phone or something.
Well, that might be that, because this is the first pair of headphones I have that if you look on the on the bottom of them, it tells you how many milliamp hours that the case has.
Yeah, so it's probably a, you know, backup charger.
Yeah, so maybe what that's for. I don't know. I mean, it'd be a really small one.
Well, it's enough to get you one halfway decent charge on a phone to get you a phone call if you need it.
Yeah, I mean, it's good for an emergency one. You know, I have, what, 1, 2, 3, 4 battery banks that are fairly large in size.
Is this on the case or is it on the headphones themselves?
The case.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, they're earbuds, right?
Yeah.
I was going to say, a USB-A on an earbud? That'd be
pretty fucking huge. Yeah, the amp hours on the headphone case says 2,600, which is not a lot when in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, but for tiny earbuds, it is.
Oh yeah.
How long does 2,600 amp hours translate to in?
That's use? A good question.
2.6 amp.
How long
life do you get? Yeah. Is what you're saying.
Oh yeah, that, yeah. I'm not, yeah, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
I mean,
4 hours.
That, 4 hours? Because that's a metric that is kind of meaningless to me.
Well, I can probably tell you by looking at the website.
Plug your damn phone into it. See what happens.
Yeah.
It'll catch on fire.
Let's see.
It'll install NeurosOS on the phone.
I do have to say I miss the Neuros products. I do wish they would have went forward with their OSD2, but yeah, okay, these must be the last of those because I can't find the entry for them on their website this week. So you must have edited some new ones. They do have some really interesting ones on there now. They have the Iowa Arc ones with ANC. They're limited. Well, that's a limited edition hard case that has for them. That's an accessory. The Iowa Connect Pros are $29.99. The Prodigy One premium earphones. So, like, if you have one of those phones that have that magical headphone jack in them, you can plug those into it. Or I guess you can plug them into your laptop. The Iowa BT1 over-the-ear wireless headphones with 30 hours of battery life for $39.99. The Prodigy Air 2s are $59.99. The Prodigy Clear Plus True Wireless Earphones with ANC are $80. And the Iowa Arc 2 are $99. And the Arc 1s are $99. All reasonably priced. Of course, they also have the Exos. Well, I go to the speaker section. I don't think any of them are listed for sale anymore. They still list them, though.
What's the site you're on?
It'll be Iowa, AIWA.co.
Okay.
I was going there to see if they had the specs listed for these and how long battery life. I think they say probably total of 40, but I think the buds will last like about anywhere between 6 to 8 hours before you have to plop them in and charge the buds back up. So,
well, that's not bad for like in ears.
No.
I mean, I usually for in ears expect like 4 hours at best.
Yeah, it's pretty standard for those for you know the recent ones.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's a put it this way. I think the battery life is excellent for myself. You know, because it lasts about as long as anything else I have, even my AirPods. So, because I do have a pair of those for my iPad. And I've been toying with the idea of maybe adding money to my I probably will get at least one gift card probably from my dad for Christmas. I might add money to that and get the Pixel Buds Pro maybe. I have to think about that. I'm generally unhappy with the microphones on any of the earbuds nowadays. They're only really, to me, they're only really useful for listening to stuff. They suck on phone calls.
Why do they suck?
I don't know.
They put crappy mics in them.
Yeah, that's the one thing I can figure.
Oh, you mean like using them to
make a phone call or answer
make
a phone call.
Not listen to, but also right. Speak into. Okay.
Yes.
Ah, yes. I can see that.
Yeah, I haven't tried it with the AirPods because see the freaky thing with Apple's AirPods, no matter which ones you get, is every iOS device you have can use them. I can plug them, put them in my ears, and pick up my work phone, and I'll be able to use those without having to pair them up. Like all I did was initially pair them up with my iPad, but they're associated with your Apple account, so they work on every iOS device that you have and macOS. So I can like when I'm near them and I have them plugged in and I'm listening to something on my iPad, if I'm at my Mac for work, I can see a little icon for them up in the taskbar. I haven't tried those with an actual phone call yet, but everything, I mean, even these, I was voxing the door. We were chatting a little bit about OLF and, it was okay. It did have some wavering audio here and there. I'm not exactly sure why, because these ones actually have – these Iowas have mics in each earbud, so that doesn't really make sense to me. But whatever. I just have not found – the only ones I found that really work well for phone calls are the ones that are dedicated for that. Like I have a Plantronics that's made for that, has a little bit of a boom mic on it. Those sound fine on any phone I've tried. One of these days they'll figure it out. But
oh, my old LGs still work really good on phone calls.
Yeah, I think the thing with those is they're always resting on my collar, so they would brush the collar if I was talking on the phone.
Yeah, if you move your head and shoulders a lot, then yeah. Shirt could rub on it. Be annoying.
Yeah. I mean, in a pinch, they're going to be fine for a short phone call, but usually okay, I end up switching to the ear.
You know, with your newer phones, you just get a... USB-C hub and hook up a USB headset to it.
Yeah.
Gaming headset.
I need to buy another one of those because they do work good in the pitch.
Well, if you're always, you know, working from your office anyway, then
right.
One of the best things you can have for that type of thing.
Just in case the headset goes down. Now the Anchor Soundcore Q20s that I use with my Zoom for Zoom, those work fine for that. I haven't tried them with the phone yet, but
if you're home, then just, you know, get a proper mic. Add up to your phone. Over, you know, a hub.
Well, actually, those can also came with a wire, too, that you can plug in.
Yeah, you don't want to use a 3.5mm mic. They all suck.
Yeah.
All of them.
I have Bose, sports line. They're wired, and most people don't have any issues with when my phone calls, and even I have to use them for my meetings and stuff too.
Yeah,
sound pretty good.
All your newer ones, well, any of your newer ones, I haven't found any that don't suck that are wired.
My only problem with the wired ones is, you know, because they're designed for, like, you know, the people who have, like, their phones attached to their, you know, their upper arms when they're running and stuff.
The cord is fucking short.
Yeah, I have the laptop on my desk. It's off to the side, and it's just long enough to, like, I don't have to tilt my head over or sit directly in front of the machine.
I do have a couple of.
Yep, actually.
I have a couple of. I found on
the eBay listing for these Prodigy Air Maxes. I found the battery icons on the listing. The buds themselves 4.5 hours. That's pretty accurate. And the charging case holds a total of 60 hours worth of charges, so it can recharge the earbuds 15 times. And
I do have a couple of the 4-pole 3.5 millimeter extension cables.
Yep, there you go. Extension cables. I know one thing extension cables don't work for, and that was USB-C on my old dock. Maybe it's because it had to be Thunderbolt, but the old dock I had, I tried to do an extension cable to keep it plugged in, and that didn't work.
One improvement that I found for the 3.5 millimeter jacks, because a lot of times the issue that I have is actually with the onboard audio with laptops and everything when you hook up through that 3.5 millimeter jack.
Yeah.
But if you have the Razer USB sound card, then that greatly improves it. And the one that I have has a 3-foot cable on it or something. So you hook it up to USB, and then anybody it gives you...
I'm not hearing anybody.
No, okay. I can hear you.
I can hear you, yeah.
And then...
Everyone stop talking.
Well, no, we were talking.
Yeah, you, I
haven't stopped talking.
Oh, because
you've talked
you
over me
out.
A couple of times.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's weird. I just put the ridiculously long link to those Iowas in the Mumble chat. I probably should put them in the IRC too.
So yeah, the USB sound card from Razer. That's 3-foot long USB cord to a 3.5 millimeter jack, and that tends to clear up a lot of audio issues that I have with wired headphones.
Okay.
Yeah, usually always when you get to an external sound card, your audio improves.
Yep. One important note, the prize drawings, even the online folks could do prize drawings, and they gave away two Raspberry Pi 400s, one of which our pal Murph won.
Oh, and he just got on, too.
Because he was listening to the show online, so... Congratulations, Murph.
Yeah, congratulations.
He's in the listening booth. He should join us and tell us all about it.
Yeah, he should. Well, I don't know if he got it yet, because they had to ship it to him. So they also gave away 16 Raspberry Pi Picos. Of course, I put 20 entries in. I spent $20 on it, and I didn't win any.
Well, Murph, tell us about it.
He's not talking.
I saw him turn blue for a second while you were talking, but then...
Oh. Go for it, Murph. Okay, maybe he's having some mic problems.
Okay.
Just interject any time, Murph. But
yeah, sometimes cool. You just gotta tell Joel to shut the hell up.
I'll chat a little bit about I made the transition from one team to another this week. There's three of us that were on my old team that came over to form a new team on the in the global support team, specifically, they call it Action Line. So basically, we just do incidents break fix cases. We haven't got, fortunately, it's been quiet. It was a good month because it was a soft launch of this, which is becoming permanent in January. And it's working really well. We're able to check all the synthetic. Monitors that pop, and we can generally clear them pretty quickly. And really, on those, it just means the monitor needs more work, and that's something the engineering team will have to work on. But we get some others too, working together with our the rest of our action line team in the other areas. Like we work, we'll help them directly with any of the cloud clients that need specific support, like in the ST core or financial aid, or well, financial aid is ST, but core or HR or any of the different modules that our application has. So if they need someone to do to turn debugging on, we're the team that does that, and we'll work with the application experts in ActionLine more directly and help support the application better. So we've been knocking it out of the park. The number on the P2, P3 incidents that we don't get paged for has been never been this low, and that's just with the last 3 days. Today I was kind of subbing for my manager since she was on her way back to Virginia from Bangalore, because she was over in Bangalore. My boss is Indian, but she's lived over here in the States for a long time now, but she still has family over in India. So after she went to train some of the Bangalore team that are a part of our team, she was visiting family in India. So, but she's finally on the way back. So yeah, Murph said he hasn't gotten it yet. So I figured that much. That's the Raspberry Pi 400 is one of the very few that I've been able to find at a decent price lately.
Yeah, unless you can be lucky enough to be one of the first people in line at Micro Center on the day that they're delivered.
You can't find the Pi 4Bs for anything.
Yeah, well, my wife, Jackie, was able to get into Micro Center on like the day of, but she was the third person in line. So, yeah, the first two people cleared out Micro Center of all their Pis.
Maybe they need to start putting some limits on it. I know
they used to. They used right. to.
I was going to say, when I was there, they had limits on them. But
yeah,
right. Huh. I know that the tracking website, last few times I've gone on it, they haven't had anything but like CM4 modules. It's the only thing I've seen. On Amazon, I have seen the 400 kits. That's the 400 and a power supply and a mouse for about $175, which is, that's not horrible. You know, that's actually pretty reasonable for the Pi 400 for all it is. But yeah, hopefully in the next year or so, they bring out the Raspberry Pi 5 or something. I would really like someone, and I know other ones are doing it, but I would like to see the Raspberry Pi Foundation just make one that's, I don't care if it doesn't cost the $35 or $50 it normally would cost, but make one that has like a NVMe slot for the hard drive, for a hard drive. Make it more like a desktop PC. You know what I mean? I think it would be excellent if they did something like that.
I think Odroid usually.
They do. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. They're not the only ones. There's a couple others like that.
And maybe, they're not as cheap, that's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe 2023 will be the year I try something other than a Raspberry Pi in small bore computing.
Well, it's messed up that, you know, the Zero W, which is supposed to be.
$5.
Well, I think it's actually supposed to be 15.
Well, I said 15, right. Yeah. Yeah.
You can only buy it on Amazon for like $100 right now.
Which is ridiculous.
The knockoff ones that.
I know Adafruit and several others have kind of formed like a coalition against the scalpers. I know Adafruit definitely has limits on how many you can buy. They right. still sell out, though.
But no, I know that there's some knockoff.
If you don't respond
ones,
to their email. Whenever like they do 20 get seconds of getting it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're not. Yeah, basically, yeah. Because you know what I think happens is maybe there's scalpers that work in a group and they'll have 10 or 20 people and they'll script it with 10 different people's names, 10 different addresses.
Right.
I bet you that's what's happening.
All you
happening.
Need is different email addresses. So you set up 10 of yep. your own email addresses and just mm-hmm. script it out.
But
I know that you can buy some ones that are the same form factor as
yes.
the Raspberry Pi Zero, but even the cheapest ones of those that I saw were, I think, $35?
Uh-huh, I think so, yeah.
Oh, they're on sale right now. Let me click on this. For $27.90. So I don't know if that's shipping. $4 shipping. And it's $27.90 plus $4 shipping, and that's the
now,
BPI M20 board banana pie,
chip making
all
and
winner,
stuff like that was
H3 quad core 512 megs Wi-Fi.
Some of the chip making
can
for
you
the
still
iPhone
not hear me, Joel?
To Arizona.
Am I not?
I was going to say I hear you perfectly fine.
Joel's just talking over me because he's Joel.
I don't know, Joel. Can you hear him? Could you just, like,
I could
going?
Not hear Joe. I couldn't hear Joe.
Oh, okay.
It was strange. Huh.
I don't know. I was talking away, and then you were just, like, switching subjects.
Oh.
In the middle of my sentence.
And, yep, and when I started talking, I could not hear you. That's weird.
I blame Dan.
We'll play the traffic cop here. Joe, it's your turn. Joel, shut up.
Right. So how's Ellen doing?
How am I doing? Yeah, we're here. Having one of those weeks at work, so. Other than that, waiting for Christmas. Not that I'm getting anything, but.
And I will say that on eBay, you can get the Orange Pi Zero LTS H2 Plus, but that's 256 mega RAM, and it's not the same form factor. It's a slightly different form factor, but those are $15.
That's interesting. Right when I heard you was the only time I saw you light up blue, but the whole time before, and then it was obvious you were still talking, but the whole time before you were still green in my mumble.
Got to be something with your connection then.
That's the only thing I can gather. Which
I mean,
doesn't make sense.
Especially if Alan could still hear me.
Yeah.
I was going to say, yeah, I've been able to hear to both of you without any issues.
Huh. Well, I was going to ask Alan how he was doing.
Yeah, not bad. Like I said, work, enjoying, you know, everybody wants their job done before the end of the year type shit.
This is weird.
Well, you can't hear me at all?
I can hear you. I can hear you.
Bill, just
try
jump
disconnecting,
off
and reconnecting.
Come back in.
Oh, and I'm seeing on Facebook Marketplace right now a Raspberry Pi 3B Plus 1 gigabyte with a case, $90.
Yeah, that's insane.
It is insane. I'm not paying that. Of course. Now I scroll down a little bit. I see this one is actually a good price, and I would consider it. GPI case with Raspberry Pi W0. So it's like, it looks like a Game Boy. It's the Retro Flag GPI case, which I think is like $80 or $90 on Amazon. I don't know. I'd have to look it up again. But it's $70 total that they want for it, and it includes a 32 gigabyte SD card.
Oh, that's a good price there, yeah.
Yeah.
I have enough for right now. Got enough Raspberry Pis. I mean, I would if I ran across one in the store, I'd buy it, but I really don't need it.
Yeah, I'm probably pretty good in the whole Game Boy, or in the whole Raspberry Pi department. But it's still, you know, nice to be able to pick up some zeros every now and again and run through projects or be able to...
just have fun,
Yeah, set something up to give away as a present.
Yeah.
Right now, there's,
you know... I think I read an article today, Korg Keyboards is starting to use the compute module for their new keyboards and their new synthesizers. That's where they're all going to.
Yeah, I just looked it up on Amazon, and that GeekPi RetroFlag GPI case is $90. Without the Pi.
Mm-hmm.
So that $70 price tag is pretty good. Not that I want to spend that right now.
Sure you do. Christmas time.
Well, you do, he does, but he wants to buy Christmas for his family.
Yeah.
I haven't even started doing anything yet for Christmas presents.
Oh, you're putting it a little late then, Joel.
Yeah, my wife's done all the Christmas shopping for, you know, for the kids and everything. I just
then you do the Christmas shopping for her.
Yeah, I just have to go out and buy what she wants. I'm waiting for her list, actually. I know she wants a keyboard for the for her iPad.
Go for the Logitech ones.
If it's for her iPad, then it's the keyboard case, right?
Yeah, she wants the combination thing, yeah. She just has the little tiny one that just flips over, and she's finding out that she tends to want to, like, type a little more often than she thought she was. So we'll find her one of those.
At least she'll give you a list.
Well, I have to, like, pry it. It's much easier said than done. He's like, I don't want anything. And it's like, yeah, but you need to get something because you really wouldn't like it if I said, no, you didn't want anything, so you didn't get anything. So I have to find her something. The standard earrings, you know. Earrings, a gift card to the makeup place, and whatever else she wants, and that'll pretty much solve it for me.
I have to find where I hid all the presents that I bought for my wife.
I
means that she'll get some of them in like July or something.
I have a habit of buying things and putting them somewhere. You know, I was like, oh, I don't. It was like I bought that when the Micro Center had that $60 laptop. So I bought two of them, one for me to play with, and I was like, okay, I'll just give the other one to my kid because you know he's always he loves the laptop he has. So I'll give him this one, and I was like, okay, well, I don't want him to find it, so I hid it on myself, and I definitely hid it on myself. It took me like 2 weeks to find it. I was like, I knew it was in the basement. I was like, where the fuck did I put this damn thing?
Don't you hate when that happens?
For some reason, my mind is just looking for
a
Micro Center bag. And it wasn't. It was in a blank paper bag that I put on the shelf, figuring one, he's not going down in the basement anyways, but still. This way, just in case he does, then he won't.
He'll never look there. Oh wait, yeah. Neither will I.
Exactly. I've gotten to the point now as if I hide something away, I write a note to myself so I remember where it is. Because it's just my wife's the same way, but we will completely forget where we put something inside.
Like, get a Christmas lockbox or something.
Yeah.
Presents lockbox.
Yep.
I'm actually, they're pretty good because most of their presents have come and they're all in Amazon boxes down in the dining room. And they haven't bothered any of the boxes. So I'm pretty good there.
They have that Futurama X-ray that they've already gotten, that they've already looked at it.
I was going to say.
There you go.
Well, when are the new episodes of Futurama supposed to be coming out?
I didn't know there were new episodes coming out.
There will be.
Never.
There will be.
So does that show like go on for like a while and then it stops for a couple of years? Then they put out a new season.
Yeah.
And then they stop it. What's it coming out on?
Hulu.
Oh, okay.
Now Hulu's revival is set to premiere in 2023, but they haven't announced a definitive date.
Weren't they having like issues with the one guy didn't want to come back because of pay or something like that? Is that the same program or is that something else I'm thinking of?
I thought that was something else.
Hey, do you guys watch Andor? What do you think of that?
I have not watched Andor yet.
I like it a lot. I think it's my favorite Star Wars series so far.
I haven't watched it. Surprisingly, that's the first one we didn't jump on watching, and we've heard it's really good.
I think it's the best one.
I heard it was slow to start, but then picked up nicely.
Well, what I like about it, it like kind of presents what life, daily life is like for these people as the Empire gets going. And it gets increasingly worse for them. And you see, like, you know, the machinations going on of, you know, people that are involved in the Imperial government and, like, the spy apparatus and all that. It's actually really good. It's really, really good. It's not the most action-packed out of them. It doesn't have the star power than, say, like, you know, Obi-Wan Kenobi does. But I think it's really good.
Yeah, it's been on my watch list, but I haven't watched it. I go downstairs and it's like, you know, I just don't feel like watching anything. So I find the most mindless thing on YouTube and just leave it on.
Yeah. Did you watch Wednesday?
We have watched. I haven't watched the whole thing yet. I thought it was not too bad. I think we're like 4 episodes into it. 3?
Yeah, I thought it was good.
Something like that. One of those 2 numbers.
I watched the whole thing. That one's good.
I didn't know anything about it, haven't watched it. All I know is that I'm getting inundated with all this stuff about the Wednesday dance, and I'm like, I don't even care about that.
Wednesday, isn't that like a series based on Wednesday from the Addams Family?
Yes, it is.
And I'm like, you know what I want? I want new freaking ideas, man.
Good luck with that.
You can have a new idea as long as it's based on an old property.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Did you see Knives Out?
Nope.
That's really good. But I haven't watched the sequel that's on Netflix. I don't even know. What is it called? Yeah, the Netflix Knives Out sequel. Glass Onion. So Knives Out was really good. That was fun. So I haven't watched Glass Onion yet. Now that was kind of different.
I see. Now, one thing I'm waiting for them to do is remake Buck Rogers yet again.
When did they remake Buck Rogers?
In the 80s.
Oh, was that a serial?
Buck Rogers, the series we all know and love, was a remake.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, back in 19... So was that one of the serials that they used to play in movie theaters?
Yeah.
Okay.
Rogers, you've always played before your Saturday morning clicks and stuff. Not that I'm old enough to understand that or remember those
things. Alan saw him in the theater himself.
They were talkies.
Not back then, but.
All right, 12-part Buck Rogers serial film was produced in 1939.
Exactly.
There you go.
So 50 years later, and we're getting close to 50 years later, so they're starting to come due for another remake. Since that's all Hollywood seems to be capable of doing.
Regurgitating in remakes. Ad nauseum.
Now, I'll tell you what, I am surprised, like, when I drive by a movie theater, like, half the movie, like, 90% of the movies that are in the theater, I have no idea what they are half the time.
Yep, sequels or remakes. Sequels or remakes.
Although, Violent Night is not a remake, as far as I know, and it's not a sequel, and it's not a comic book movie. Have you seen the trailer for Violent Night?
It's kind of like Die Hard, right? That's kind of like what they're pitching it as.
Maybe, but it's Santa Claus. It looked pretty cool. It looked pretty funny.
Have you seen the Christmas Story sequel?
I have.
Yes.
I think it's worth a watch. It's worth a watch. It's not as good as the original, obviously, but it's pretty good.
What's it on?
HBO Max.
Oh, okay. All
right. I did watch the Santa Clauses.
Have you seen the trailer for The Mean One?
The Mean One?
The Mean One.
Like another Grinch remake?
except it's a horror, Grinch horror parody.
Oh, I saw an article about it. I didn't read it. I just saw that there was something out there. Kind of like in the spirit of the Winnie the Pooh one.
Guess so.
I'm not allowed to watch those.
Really that mean.
I can watch them, but my wife will not watch those. So.
I started watching that 1899 series. It's the same people that did Dark, you know, the German guys. It's pretty freaky deaky.
What is it about?
It's about a bunch of these European immigrants in the year 1899. They're on a boat going across the Atlantic, and there's a sister ship from the same shipping company that like went missing months before, and then they get a signal from it, and then they find the boat completely devoid of any life except for a kid they find locked in a cupboard.
I'll have to check it out.
The only thing that's a little crazy is like there's literally 20 languages being spoken in the freaking show, so if you do watch it, you got to leave the subtitles on.
I gotta check it out. I love sci-fi stuff.
I have to watch everything with subtitles anymore.
Did you watch Dark?
No, should I watch Dark first?
Dark is fucking awesome.
Subtitles.
That one's like, well, the Dark they dubbed over. It's like time travel. It's like a bunch of families that living in this town. And then there's like all tons of time travel going on, and then it gets a little crazy. Like in the later seasons, like so many threads going on, it's hard to follow.
I have to check that one out too. Three seasons. I'm with you, Alan. I have to watch. Like I watch with subtitles all the time because I'm like I can't hear a damn thing anymore.
Yeah, it's between that and it's like either you can't hear them talking, and then suddenly somebody opens the door and blows the fucking blows my speakers up. And it's like, okay, everybody's like this from talking to this stuff. And then boom, it's like, somebody, leaks a chair and, your eardrums are busted. I've tried everything I can do and it's just like, fuck it. I just keep it one volume and just put the subtitles on. Keeps my reading comprehension up.
Have you guys seen that movie, The Witch?
No, I have not. I've heard about it, but I have not seen it.
Yeah, it's like a bunch of, like, you know, English colonists, you know, New England, and
right.
The accents are so freaking thick that you got to put the subtitles on to really understand what the fuck's going on.
That's another one I would like to check out, but my wife isn't. Like, what's coming up? What's coming up? My wife loves Pablo Pascal, and the next thing he's in is The Last of Us.
Yeah, that dystopian thing.
And I played the game, so I would like to see it, how well they, you know, what they did with it, but I don't know if I could get her to watch it. Or if she will be, I mean, she wants to watch it because of him, but she's leery of all the violence that might be in it. Yeah. I don't know. Damn.
Yeah, I don't know if you watched the Mean One trailer or not, but in the trailer, they are very, very careful not to name him the Grinch, is what it seems like.
Is the Grinch still under...
Well, they keep making new movies for it.
Copyright? I thought the copyright expired. Boom.
They make new movies for it, so.
Oh wait, is that Dr. Seuss?
The Grinch originally? Yeah, I think it was, yeah.
Yeah, okay. He wasn't. So. Yeah, that's right. So he's.
Another decent sci-fi show that's on now is the one called The Peripheral. It's on Amazon. It's pretty good.
It's too many shows to watch.
Yep. Which is why I end up watching almost none of them anymore.
Let Alan watch all the shows for us.
You're going to see too much then.
Ay, ay, ay. I gotta get Fedora 37 on this machine. Actually, I gotta get a hard drive in there before I do that. I keep running out of space. Gotta remove stuff on here before I can upgrade. That sucks. Right, Joel? What happened to Joel?
His connection's all wonky.
Man, it looks like he keeps leaving and coming back.
Is he, he door dashing? Dinner tonight? A late dinner? Oh, yeah, yeah. So you guys all sticking around for the holidays?
Yeah, I'm not going anywhere this year. I think this will be like the first year we haven't gone somewhere for Christmas.
Yeah, we're making up for COVID Christmas from last year. We all got COVID. My youngest son got it first, and then we all got it. So basically had nobody over last year.
Wait, this year? Was it last year you said that?
Last year. Yeah.
So this year, you're not going anywhere?
Not going anywhere, but we have a company over.
Oh, that's cool. I ordered a prime rib. That shit got expensive, man.
Oh my God, it's crazy.
I just ended up going down to my mom's house, and that's about it for us.
Where's your mom?
Down Somerville. Over in Jersey. That's not that far to go.
Which is right down 20 I-78. 78. Pick up. Well, you know you can't. I was going to say you could pick up fireworks on the way, right? But you can't. They won't even let you in the store.
No, actually they do now. Pennsylvania is they opened up that loophole, or I don't know, created a loophole. I don't know how you want to put it. But basically you can buy anything that you want now. But you know, it's dependent on, like, you know, the city and stuff says you can't fire it off within, you know, city limits, but you can, that doesn't stop anybody, of course, but yeah, you can buy anything you want. I got two of them right down the road from me.
They are legal in Ohio, but they may not be legal in your locality.
Well, that's what they do. It's like, you know, Easton has, you know, a thing where it's like, you have to be a certain amount of feet from any, you know, any structure at all before you can fire them off, which pretty much blocks out all of Easton. But, you know, like I said, it doesn't stop anybody, and I've never read in the paper or anything about anybody ever getting arrested for firing them all off.
Yeah. You know? Well, we're going to Knoxville to be with my dad for Christmas because that's the way it's going to be till he passes. And then this weekend we're having a family over for my wife's side has a bunch of birthdays this month, including my father-in-law, who's going to be 80. So we're having him over to the house, and I'm going to be baking some gingerbread cookies, a couple pies, and making some candy. And we got like a meat tray that we're going to have as well. Meat and cheese tray, you know, with some bread and other things. Sister-in-law's making a birthday cake for Joe. Big 80.
For me?
No, my father-in-law is Joe too. Because I think when is your birthday, Joe?
July.
That's what I thought.
Granted, my dad's is also in July.
I'm in July.
Yeah.
And my dad's April. Also with Joe.
I was going to say the next birthdays coming up are probably me and Alan. April, and you're what, March?
No, I'm pretty sure the next one is Kai.
Oh, your son?
No, my daughter.
Oh, daughter. Sorry.
My eldest.
Oof.
Turns 20 in January.
And Alan's going to be, what, 70 when his two are grown?
I'll be 72 when they graduate.
But he's going to have three more between now and then.
No, I hope not.
Nope.
He's going to have another one when he's like 68, and he's just going to look at himself and be like, I hate you.
Well, the only question is, did he get the snip-snip?
Not on me, but he got tied, so.
See, I didn't get the snip-snip, but my wife can't do it anymore anyway, so. Thank you, menopause.
Yeah, two's enough. I don't need any more.
Well, I said one's enough. When we miscarried number two. That was probably before I was even on the show.
I'm happy with the three that I have. I don't need no more. I don't want to be 70 when the last one leaves the house. Cough, cough, Alan.
Cough, yeah, cough. Well, you right, know, right. It's...
But the thing is, though, might be that old, but they may not leave the house yet.
Right.
Well, hopefully, mine's 23. Hopefully the house will be paid by then.
Yeah. Mine's 23 and he still lives here.
Yeah, well, Kai's turning 20. She still lives here.
Back when I was a kid,
I moved out the second time when I was 17.
I was 18, graduated high school in June of 89, and I started college in July of 89.
Yeah, I graduated in like May of 99.
And now
joined the military in August.
And now, let's see, I'm trying to figure out how long it took me to pay for my degree, because this paid for, finally.
Oh, mine's not yet.
Daggone student loans, you know, that's the only debt you can pretty much go to the grave with.
Yeah, and get passed on to your kids.
Ooh. Yeah.
Take it out of your estate.
Truth. But no, we had more than enough left over after we sold the old house, put a down payment on this house, that we were able to pay that one off. So we have, none of us have student debt. Not even Luke has it, and he's been going to college. So he's lucky his parents are paying his community college tuition.
I think I still owe like $15,000.
That's not horrible.
But I also I qualify to get the $20,000 worth of repayment.
Well,
if it happens.
If it happens. Congress is going to have to pass that thing.
Da-da-da.
Yeah.
Money.
Well, I'm going to make a cheesecake this weekend, too.
Just a regular cheesecake?
No, gingerbread.
Gingerbread.
Although, in debating the crust in the recipe, says to make it out of ginger snaps, which I did I do have some of those, but I might try just putting some of the fresh gingerbread I make in the crust instead. Maybe roll a couple extra ones thinner. I usually roll them thicker because I like the gingerbread chewy instead of crispy.
To roll them thick.
Mm-hmm. Soft gingerbread I like.
On a cheesecake?
A cheesecake crust might, like I said, I might have to roll a couple, you know, two or three of them out extra thin so that they are crispy, because I think that would work better for the crust.
Gingerbread has a very rapidly diminishing returns for me. I'm not a big fan.
You're not?
I like ginger a lot.
Right.
But, I don't know, gingerbread just...
It's one of those that can be done right or can be done horribly wrong. Because it could be really, really hard, which is not the one I like. But if it's soft and chewy, it's enjoyable.
Mm.
At least for me, anyway. And I'm going to make probably a pumpkin and a pecan again. Because I like those two pies. Although the pumpkin will be sugar-free. As sugar-free can get, anyway.
I have a question for you guys. Maybe you have an answer. Has anybody ever used a negative scanner?
Like for scanning negative?
Photo negatives, yeah.
I haven't.
I was scanning some slides. I have an older one.
You have a scanner that does negatives and slides?
It does negatives. I'm not super happy with the way that it does negatives. I think it's messy. It did the slides very nicely, but I just wasn't happy with the way that the negatives came out on it.
How old was it?
It's not that old. It's a couple of years.
What is it? What kind is it?
Give me just a second to dig it up here.
The only question is, would it? I was gonna say the only question is would it work with Linux?
Well, I mean, I've been...
it is. Well, no, it's standalone. It does work. It's my company called Wolverine. Excuse me. Wow, so I started stuttering there because I keep my headphone out. It's the F2D Titan.
Oh, the Wolverine.
I bought it at Dan's, the camera shop.
Okay.
And like I said, you know, it works fine. I mean, you're not getting like TIFF out of it. It just does JPEGs. But I mean, overall, it's for the slides I was doing. I was doing, you know, 50-year-old slides to begin with.
Right.
So, you know, there were varying qualities there. I mean, we had some ektachrome slides that looked like they were done yesterday. And you had some other ones that were old Kodak ones that, you know, you could tell time has hit them. That type of stuff there. But, you know, overall, that was not too bad. And but I just didn't like the quality of what came out when I was trying to do my negatives. Even with the new, I thought it was like, you know, okay, well, I'm shooting negatives, you know, I'm trying to scan the negatives that, you know, I took when I was, you know, 18 or 16 in some cases. So they're old. But, you know, I keep everything in good condition. And, you know, I just didn't like the way they looked. And even with, you know, I'm shooting a lot of film now, which is, you know, would make you bankrupt really fast.
Right.
How much did it run you when you bought it? Do you recall?
I want to say it was like $80. It wasn't an expensive one. It basically shoots them onto an SD card, and then you just bring them. You know, you just, you know, copy them over to your Linux box or wherever you want to do with them.
Because I was looking. I have a bunch of negatives that I need to get taken care of, and they're a little bit on the older side. They're actually our wedding pictures. And
wow.
And I'm like. Like, I've been looking around, and I'm like most places were like, you know, send us your negatives, we'll convert them to digital images, but then they keep the negatives, right? They don't send them back. And I'm like, well,
no.
Why don't I just buy a negative scanner and do it myself?
Yeah, that depends on where you're going to. A lot of places will send them back. They'll just charge you for it, you know. You know, they'll charge you to ship them back. Yeah, I mean, like I said, you know, if you're looking for like, oh, I want them to look like the day they were shot, you know, 30 years ago, if you play with them, I mean, you know, if you're going to do editing and stuff on them, you can probably make them look really good.
Right.
Like I said, if you're going to do that though, find one that will let you save in like TIFF or something.
Right.
So you're getting all the image. You know, when you convert to JPEG, it's sort of like it's sort of done the editing for you. I mean, you can still do stuff, but you just don't have the full palette left anymore. At that point, right. I had a flatbed scanner that would do negatives. This is years ago. Basically, it had a little like a backlight that you would put over top of it, and you'd have to scan it, and you'd get some very good results from it, but it was slow as shit.
Right.
My God, it was terrible. It would take me like 30 minutes to do a roll of film.
Yeah.
Because you got to go back in. You have to get it put in the attachment so that it would sit there and then scan it. And scanning took forever. And then you had to pick which image you wanted out of. I mean, just like, you know, scanning used to be.
Right.
I mean, it was an old desktop scanner. Actually, it's still in the basement. I got to throw it out because nothing I have will actually work for it anymore because it was a parallel port scanner.
I was going to say, parallel port or serial.
Yeah. I really don't have anything for it. But, I mean, if you just want to get your pictures digital, I mean, it's not a bad, you know, I won't say it's too bad. But like I said, I've got some dust on the lens that I just can't seem to get off. I even took it apart and, you know, got to the lens and cleaned it up. And I'm just seeing the same spots that, you know, shouldn't be there.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, but other than that, like I said, you know, maybe, you know, it's just I got a bad one, you know, I would say. I've been trying to do my own scanning with my digital camera, but I just don't have the lens for it. Mm-hmm. I 3D printed a couple of holders for 35 millimeter and for 120 because I'm shooting 120 now too, which there you really want expensive there.
Right.
shoot 120. 12 photos will cost me about $40 when I'm done.
I'll stay in digital.
I sort of got hooked on a Twins Lung Reflex that I found. Right. I bought a Mamiya C330, which is a really nice camera. You know, even for the fact, like I said, it's 50 years old. And it does, you know, once you master or at least attempt to master all, you know, fully manual photography, you know, I had to go out and buy a light meter because I'm like, yeah, I can't figure out how to make this work. But once you sort of get, my last roll of film was not too bad. The roll before that, I got maybe half out of it. You know, there was a couple ones that were just too dark. I mean, the pictures came out nice. They were just too dark.
Right.
So, you know, I'm learning with that one. But like I said, it's, you know, it's $10 to $15 a roll, depending on whether you're shooting black and white or color. It's $30 for the developing on there, another $10 if I want actual pictures done.
So basically a whole roll of film probably costs you around $100.
Oh, no, a whole roll of film costs me $40 if I go full with pictures and everything.
No, I'm talking about buying the film and shooting it.
It's $40. My 35 costs the same thing. It's just, you know, you shoot 36 pictures versus 12. Right. So you don't feel quite as bad, you know, spending $40 on it.
Now, I remember in the 90s, I actually scanned all of my, 98, 99, a couple years after I got married. I scanned all the professional pictures I did scan. And I scanned them at really high resolutions, which resulted in, back then, a 30 megabyte picture that took a while to scan, which now I can literally click on it and pull it instantly up.
I years ago on my first MacBook, I have a scanner for that, but it works only on that particular machine, and that machine is, you know, the plastic iBooks.
Right.
Yeah, so it's the black ones, which, you know, was a really nice computer, but the scanner that was, you know, the Apple scanner it wasn't from Apple, but it worked on that particular one. There are no drivers. I have never been able to find any other drivers other than the, you know, the Apple. Igato, I think it is.
Those
TV tuners and stuff. They only work on Apple shit. They don't make drivers for anything else. And this was the same thing. So, you know, whereas I probably could find that in the basement, whether or not the computer actually even still works, that would be another thing. And then again, you could get TIFFs out of that. You can get some really good images out of it, but it was slow as shit too.
Right.
So it's just, you know, for what I want to do, it's not, I don't have the time. You know, maybe if I was retired and had all day to do nothing but that, I'd set it back up again. It's sort of depressing because, like I said, you know, it was a decent scanner. I probably paid a couple $100 for it at the time.
That just seems to be the rigor for anything. You know, it's like, I remember when you first got that MacBook.
Yeah, well, no,
you brought it to OLF.
Yeah, and you know, I'm almost positive the lap, you know, the battery may be shot on it, but the laptop itself would still be working. Right. I've got all the pieces for that. It's, you know, it's in a box down in the basement right now. But, you know, I could take it out and probably work perfectly fine. That ran Linux and everything on it. But, you know, it's like I said, the peripherals, you know, I wanted, you know, a scanner for it. That was the only one you could get for it. You can only get something that had Apple, you know, for the Apple. And as far as I could tell, nobody has ever written a driver for it for anything other than the Apple thing. So.
But, about the only way to get a scanner nowadays, too, is to get one with a printer.
Well, yeah, but even that, most of those won't do negatives.
That's true.
If you're flatbed scanning negatives, you need to have a backlight to be able to get the pictures in, and most of them don't do that.
Yep.
Yeah, I've even tried it on. You know, I can sort of make my HP guy here copy things and scan stuff. It's more of a pain in the ass than it's worth. Even under Windows, it's more of a pain in the ass than it's worth. So I don't really bother with it. But even that, I was trying to shine like just a flashlight through the back of it, and it just, you know, it just, nothing came out of it.
Yep.
But Dan, I would try to find a standalone one if you could.
Yeah.
And if you can find one that does TIFFs, that's even better if you plan on editing. But
I can't just find anyone that's like does TIFFs.
Even most of the photography labs, if you want, you know, if you're scanning film in, even film that they're developing, if you want TIFFs out of them, that's usually an extra charge. I don't know why, because it's really just a setting. But, you know, it's a setting that you figure, you know, you're a photographer, you're going to pay this kind of cash for.
That's
my only, you know, because there's nothing in photography that's cheap.
No.
That's
like you said, you know, even, you know, I bought a 50-year-old camera and it was still, I paid $300 for it.
Mm-hmm.
I just paid, well, I got it back, but I paid $160 for a Polaroid SX70.
Yeah.
Now, unfortunately, I got it, but unfortunately, it was beautiful condition, but I put the first roll of film in there, and all it did was just the motor just spinned. Nothing right. happened, but luckily, I bought it from somebody that took returns. So I wrote him back, and he refunded me my whole money for it. So I'm like, okay.
The old SX70, that was the one that folded, too. I think my grandpa had one of those.
Well, he still does, grab it.
My grandpa's been dead since 1996, so
okay, well, I'm
sure he doesn't
have
it.
It's going to be a hard one to get then.
but that man, he loved that camera. He literally carried it around everywhere he went. He had that and flash bars in his pockets.
that's another one, though. I mean, it's not a poor man's hobby for that one there.
No.
I don't know why I came across it. I was looking for something else, and I just it caught my eye, and I'm like, oh my god, I always wanted one of those things, and I never thought about it.
Well, the Time Zero film was really interesting at the time, and there's so many interesting things that you can do with it after it pops out of the camera that no one ever thought about back then.
I've got a roll of film here that I have to seal back up again. I'll throw it in the fridge in case I actually do buy one, because I mean, I paid $23 for 8 pictures on that one. You know, it's not, you know, the new Polaroid one, you know, they used to be 10 pictures a cartridge, but from what I've read about it is because they don't have the same chemical makeup anymore, because basically once Polaroid said we're not making this anymore, all the chemical manufacturers said, well, we don't have to make this stuff anymore for anybody, so it doesn't exist anymore.
Right, and now it's...
And I guess the new formula, they can only fit 8 pictures in the same cartridge. So it's you know, it's 8 pictures, and like I said, with shipping from Amazon was $23.
Yep. But there's something to be said about the old Polaroids, you know, but
it's like I have a Holga camera, which is this complete plastic camera from China. I've got the expensive one because I have a glass lens on mine. But basically, it's they produced them for like 20 years now, 30 years probably, and you get a real interesting picture from it. It's not a bad picture, but every camera, and then they said it, you know, every camera is slightly different, so you get a slightly different picture from each one. You know, like, you know, you may get a light streak in some of them that you don't get on another camera. I've taken, you know, it's a 120 film camera. And, you know, for the $50 I paid for it, it's not a bad camera. It's finicky, and it's got a live shutter on it at all times. So that's sort of an annoying thing there, because you can never remember whether or not you actually, you know, did you advance the film or didn't you? That type of shit. But it makes, you know, it does shoot decent pictures. You just have to sort of, you know, focusing is guessing. You have a picture of one person, 3 people, and like 7 people.
Yep.
And that's your focusing. It's like, oh, is it somewhere between 3 feet, or, you know, 3 feet and 6 feet, or 6 feet and 9 feet, basically.
Yep.
But it works.
It's like I have both the the DJI Pocket that you have, and I have the new one, the Pocket 2, which I think they might even have a Pocket 3 now. But, you know, each one of those I paid, like, what, $500 for, probably? You know, and I do want to get a new drone before too much longer, because my Mavic Pro was, well, it was one of the original Mavics, you know, and they're now on the Mavic 3.
Yeah.
And I'm probably looking at the smaller one this time, like the really small one.
The minis actually work really well.
Yep.
I have the first one. I've got no complaints on it.
Yep.
Other than the fact it's so damn small, you get too far away and you have to figure out where the fuck it is, but...
Yeah.
I had that with the Phantom too, so it's not like
yeah. I was gonna say the big problem with them are the fact like the Mavic batteries. I cannot get brand new ones. The only thing I can possibly get a hold of are the remanufactured, which they're okay. They work, you know, but it's like I'd love to get something a little bit more modern. And some of the new ones can do up to 8K video, which. I don't know if I have anything that's capable of editing that yet. Definitely not of actually seeing it, because I don't have anything that's an 8K screen yet. But
yeah, it's an overkill for me.
Yeah, same here, you know.
Unless you're in like professional photography for that, that's mm-hmm. overkill for just about anybody, in all honesty.
Yep. I wouldn't mind getting the Part 107, I think, the FCC license for commercial flyers, but...
I was debating on that, but I really just don't have money for it.
Yeah.
The Warren County Community College has a course in it. They actually have a drone course.
Oh, interesting.
They had a fly-off over the summer at the airport by me. It wasn't very many people there, but, you know, they did have, you know, guys, you know, representatives from there. And had a couple other companies that do, like, surveying stuff. Yeah, but they're out there with the octocopters and shit.
Oh, yeah.
They like, this drone is $30,000 before we put the mapping software on it. And it's doing full LiDAR, which is, like, another $30,000. There's a little pod hanging off of it and stuff. So, yeah, it's like, okay, yeah, it's a little too much. Right. I don't know that I'd actually feel comfortable flying that thing, even if I was, you know, rated to do it. I'm not sure I'd be comfortable with that.
Yeah, I would definitely look at either the Mini 2 or the Mini 3, depending on where I'm getting it from. I just want something that doesn't take a whole lot of room in my bag mm-hmm. when I do travel. You know, I do have a huge backpack now with my Tom Ben brain bag, but it's like, you know, I still want to keep my load a little smaller. And the original Mavic Pro was pretty small, but it's actually, you still have to register it with the FAA.
I did that with the Mini too. Just why not? I
mean, well, technically the Mini doesn't. You don't have to because it's under 500 grams. So.
Oh no, I know that, but I just why not worry about it? It's just it's not a big deal for me.
And it's not expensive either. It's like $5. Yeah. Which I have to look. I think are you supposed to renew those too? Because I probably never have yet.
You know, I have no clue. In all honesty,
I'll check it someday. But it's not like I don't fly it as often as I like to. Because especially like this time of year, it's kind of hard to with the weather, you know, with snow and stuff. But
yeah,
but I have flown it in snow. Actually, it's really fun to fly in the snow, as long as it's not. Snowing, you're not too bad. It's not if it snows on the ground, that's fine. But yep,
I think it's that time.
It is that time. So we got at least two more shows before Christmas,
something like that. Yeah.
Yep, and I'm in town the 21st anyway, because I don't leave until the 23rd. But we are going to drive both cars down, so I'm not waiting for them. If I'm ready to go at 9 in the morning, I'm gone.
That's the holiday spirit. Leave your family behind.
Well, you know, depending on how slow they are, you know, it could be possible where I can go to lunch with Dad to Hooters or something and get some wings.
Hooters.
There would the it's strange, the one down by my dad's house is actually pretty decent. Because Hooters can be a crap show. Sometimes it's good. Sometimes you just go there to look at the cheesecake.
Yeah.
But
is that right. What they're calling it nowadays?
Well, Joe's
trying to keep Joel's, it clean.
Well, Joel's looking at his cheesecake. I'm gonna play us out.
Yep.
So, let's see if I can ride the slide and make it work. Here we go.
There you go.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Yeah, thank you.
I am short.
Oh my God. It's Hacker
Public. Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
Hello, my name is Matt, and I've started a new podcast called LibreQuest. I talk about Linux, general technical topics. To get the show, visit LibreQuest.org.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Dad, it's a gun!
It's over. You were making it pretty young in the kitchen. That's the dining room. Sushi.
I don't know, man. I got it.
Sounds like you got some compression on.
I'm wondering, is that compression and mumble?
Could be. Like
see.
It's limiting it or something.
Let me see. Let's see what I have.
Now, what I did do, it was strange. When I started talking over Joe, I never heard him. So I made a tweak to my mumble settings, and I did turn on QoS in the router, which ended up rebooting the router, and it's been fine since.
All right, let me see. What can I play that always has a problem? Let's try this.
Or maybe the echo cancellation.
It's a little thing to show, and that's fact.
It's still doing it.
If you don't like gas, you can stick it.
Okay, let me.
Yep, there is compression.
It's a little show, and that's fact. If you don't like the gas, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies.
You mumble, there is compression in the audio settings. It says quality, and then it has you can turn it up. Which I hate how that's listed because that doesn't make sense at all. Because it's listing it as like 40 kilobytes per second. At least that's what mine's set for.
It's a little thing tech show, and that's fact. If you don't like gas, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that'll link it bad. But the stream is good to DLNGS.org. And I see challenges on LinuxLink.net. Bound tech show. Just in right there, put the gallon just about to begin.
That's better, but it's still kind of doing it. There's also noise suppression built into Mumble as well. You might want to turn it off since that's coming over a cable.
Let me see. Let's try that. Let's try that. Let's turn off the noise suppression.
It's a little thing tech show, and that's fact. If you don't like the cast, you can stick it up your way.
Now that sounds better.
Wow.
That's improved 100% right there. That was it.
Yeah, Joe.
So what was the issue?
Noise suppression in mumble.
Let's see. Let's see. Hold on. Let's see.
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
All right, that's pretty good. That's the best one yet.
I am short.
Pizza, pizza.
Big O! Showtime!
It's about fucking time someone else is.
You were making it for me in the kitchen.
That's so much better.
It's a little thing Tech Show, and that's fact.
Wow.
It
only took like 6 months. Does it?
And we fixed it in 10 minutes.
All right, let me try this. Let me see this.
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
I am short.
Pizza, pizza.
Big O! Showtime!
It's about fucking time someone else is.
It's a little thing Tech Show, and that's
all right. All right, that we're gonna leave it at that.
It was detecting the noise. It was suppressing all the noise that was in that in those recordings, which there is some in there. But but that's just the beauty of it. Because some of those are what old porn recordings, like the Anything at All stuff. Paint your fine ass with my tongue brush?
No, that's Stella.
Oh, okay.
Wow. All right.
All right, folks.
Thank you, Joel.
Don't mention it.
All right.
See you tomorrow. Or next week, I should say.
Take it easy.
Mm-hmm.
That goes to hell quickly.
Unless he figured it out.
Well, that would be interesting.
Okay, that's one thing I gotta do. I just rebuilt this machine, and now I've got the stupid text thing on.
I think so. I what I am pretty sure the problem is that this. I don't know if it's the configuration of the laptop or if it's. I don't know what it is, because I've tried two different sound cards, but the. The audio tends to clip past 100%, and I really have to ride.
Hello.
I have to ride the microphone control on this thing. Otherwise, it's just like it does it. It just cuts it out, and I don't know how to fix that. It didn't have the problem with the old machine.
So is that playing into Mumble?
It's playing into a line out, which is the input for Mumble.
Is Mumble on Vox control?
That's a good question.
As opposed to push to talk.
Yeah.
Oh no, it's not. It's on push to talk.
Okay, because like you said, I have Mumble set up on the Vox, and you really got to play around with it to get it to work right. Just because I'm too lazy to push the damn button and. I'll end up talking for 20 minutes before I realize I haven't said anything.
Let me see something here.
Because that's what it sounds like. Because like it'll be playing, and all of a sudden, it sounds like it gets lower, and then it disappears, and then it pops back in again, and you're riding it back down, and it disappears again. The Vox is cutting in.
Does your son have a recorder or something?
Not me.
No, that's my daughter playing up there, her recorder. It's that time of year they send the recorder home for practice.
And then you want to rip it from her mouth.
This is the first time in a couple of days she's elected to start playing it. Unfortunately, it just so happens to be during showtime. Wish I should probably go upstairs and tell her take it up to her room, but then I'm gonna get the scowl.
You'll get the scowl and the stink eye.
Yep, absolutely. Maybe I need to upgrade my mumble client. Maybe I need to upgrade everything on this machine.
You probably need a new machine. You haven't had a new one in, like, forever.
What is this? This is an Asus. I'm not going to flip it over.
Did somebody actually get... I think that in that one that someone actually just gave to you or something.
You know what? I honestly don't know. It's been that long ago. I have no idea where it came from. It's been sitting... Like, this laptop has been... Sitting over this laptop I used many, 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 many years ago. I think it was before I got the Dell. Well, I don't know. This might have been around right before my System 76 Serval died. Maybe it's not that old. I don't know, but it was... It had always been hooked up for the longest time, and I didn't do anything with it. It's so old.
You used to use your Mezzo for stuff too.
Yeah, this machine used to. This is what I had my Steam client on a long, long time ago, and it has like Shovel Knight and Rogue Legacy and Savant. Back when those games were not very new. So this has been around for a while. And I just rotated it back in when the other Dell died. So it is definitely old. I do not know how old.
Maybe we should say Merry Christmas, Dan. Buy a laptop.
Maybe I give, you know, with the wife back to work and everything after the holidays, maybe I'll look around at doing that. Or at least
I can't afford what I, as I say, I can't afford what I really want from System 76.
Oh yeah,
that PC, the Thelios Mira that I saw at the Southeast Linux Fest. It's so sexy.
You know, quite honestly, I should consider the fact that I always buy, like, I'm like, oh, I should buy a laptop so it can be portable. I can take it wherever I'm going to go, you know, but I never go anywhere. And the laptops have been sitting down here for like 3+ years, and I never take them out of this location. So it would probably be cheaper just to get a freaking desktop.
I was going to say desktop would probably make more sense.
Yeah. But.
It depends on whether or not you want a graphics card.
That's true. Because
graphics cards have come down in price, but they're still going to be the highest cost portion of whatever you do.
Yeah, and that is like, do I just slap together a machine for just putzing around, or do I go full-on gamer on this thing?
Right.
So, but then I'm like, well, wouldn't it make more sense to just get a Steam Deck then if I want to do the gaming? That way I could, you know, it'd be portable. I could take it upstairs, plug it into the TV, and it'd be just like...
Well, you could still use it as a PC.
A Switch on steroids. What, the Steam Deck?
Yeah.
I mean, I could, but I wouldn't.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if I would come down here and plug it in and do the show on it.
Or get the GPD... WinMax 2, yeah. Those things are sweet.
They are. They're also expensive.
Yes, well, they are. They're
expensive in a Steam Deck.
Are they Intel or ARM-based?
Intel, or Ryzen.
I think they do make an ARM version.
Right.
But they also have the Intel version.
But then it's like, okay, you know, anyway, we should start the show. This is episode 980.
Yes, we should.
82. Oh.
Talk a little bit about OLF.
Oh, you went, right?
Well, I sent you that picture, so yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right, you did. Oh, man. Yeah. All right. Well, I was where I wanted to go, right there. What do we got here? Da-da-da. What are we doing here? Oh yeah, no. Right, Joe?
Sure.
Indeed.
Uh Yeah, be careful.
Actually, I kind of want that GPD Win 4 that they got on GPD's page right now. Kind of looks a little bit like a face.